Morning. Today's daf in Bamitzia is Zadi Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship. The daf is on the Zichron Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are starting today on the Mishnah on Zadi Alpha Mid Beis. Again, we're talking about the workers' rights to eat. The Mishnah is here in the seventh verse of Bamitzia, describing the basic relationship that exists between an employer and employee. Most of the focus of the Mishnayos and the Gemara have been talking about the worker's right to eat. It's a pasuk in the Torah, two pasukim in the Torah, in Devarim, Perek of Gimel, the last two pasukim of the Perek. So it affords the Gemara the opportunity to discuss some of the parameters of this halacha. So we are starting in the Mishnah. So if you're working in the figs, so you can't eat the grapes. So in other words, you have to be. You can only eat for that which you're actually working with. You can't eat from another type of fruit. And by navim lo yochel b'tanim, and the opposite is also true as well. If you're working the grapes, you can't eat the figs. The Mishnah says what you can do is you can hold off and wait till you get to the good fruit, and then you can eat. What the significance of that line in the Mishnah is, we're going to explain a little bit better as we get through the Gemara. Now, again, it goes back to a point that we made already before, but when are you allowed to eat this fruit? So the answer is only b'shas malacha, only when you're actually working. Now, if this is true, so that means then that from the worker's standpoint, so he can only eat while working, but eating while working also means that he's going to have to take a break, meaning it's hard to eat and work. So you're going to eat, and then you're going to work, sorry, stop, eat, and then go back to work, and it's just simply annoying to the employer. So the Mishnah says, Ava Mishim Hashev Aveda, because of the principle of Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda over here is used a little bit loosely. In other words, you're not returning a lost item, but it's like returning a lost item, in that what the Chachamim essentially said is, look, what we're going to have to do over here is we're going to have to create some sort of structure so that you don't eat, break, eat, break, eat, break. So therefore the Chachamim said, here's what you're allowed to do. Bishem Hashav Aveda Labalim Amru Polim Ochlim Ba'alicha Me'uman La'uman. So basically, as you finish the row, what you're allowed to do is take a little bit of fruit with you, finish the row, and as you're about to turn and do the next row, now is a natural time to take a break, and now you can eat at that point in time. So in other words, what the Chachamim allowed you to do is they allowed you to eat even though you're not actually working. Now, the turn that you're making in order to go to the next row, you can make the argument that that's also part of the job, and that's also part of working as well. And in a moment, we're going to see the Gemara is going to discuss whether or not that turn between one row in another row is considered part of the labor or not. But the simple pshat in the Mishnah is that it's not considered part of the labor, and the Chachamim allowed the worker to eat at that point in time in order to create a nice structure of work, and it's a natural place to put a break, even though Me'ikar din, according to strict letter of the law, you shouldn't be eating at that point in time. And the same thing is true regarding returning from the vat. Meaning, again, if you're working the vat, you're working the grapes and the vat. So for you to stop and to eat at that point in time, it's not natural. It's natural. But in other words, it's time consuming. You're in the middle of your job, and now you have to stop in order to eat because the Torah only allows you to eat while you're working. So, but then you're going to stop. And again, all this becomes extraordinarily uncomfortable. So what you should do then, says the Mishnah, is as you're now heading away from the vat, you've taken some grapes that you can eat at that point in time. Again, you're not actually working at that point in time, but again, this fits into the takana that we just learned. The hashavas aveda of, we want the employer to be happy with the job that's being performed, so therefore we're going to allow the worker to take some fruit, hold it until he gets to a natural break in the action, and then and only then he's allowed to eat. And then the last words of the Mishnah, v'chamor kishi parakas. When can the animal eat? Meaning the animal also has an entitlement to eat. We discussed, the Torah says, l'sachsam shor b'disho, when threshing the animal is allowed to eat, but the truth of the matter is that the animal is allowed to eat while it's working. So when is that going to be true? So the Gemara says at the point of unloading, meaning the animal, don't allow the animal to eat while it's walking, but when unloading, so then that's a good natural break for the animal to eat. Okay, we're going to come back to that last line of the Mishnah in a moment. Here's what I know from the Mishnah. If I'm working the grapes, I can't eat the figs. And if I'm working the figs, I can't eat the grapes. That part I got. But let's say I'm working the grapes, and there's another row with another cluster of grapes. I happen not to be working on that side of the field today. But can I take from those grapes? Or does it specifically have to be the grapes that I'm actually working with? That's the Gemara's question. So over here, what is really the demand, or I should say better, the allowance of the Torah? Is the allowance of the Torah min? Meaning the Torah is just simply makbid on the right species. The Torah says you can eat grapes when you're working with grapes. It doesn't matter which grapes, but you can eat grapes. So over here, even though the grapes are from an area of the field that I'm not working with, but it's grapes and I'm working with grapes. Is that the only hakpat on the Torah? O Dilma, mima sha'ata no sein, lekev shabal abayis, minan v'aleka. Or maybe no. Maybe the Torah is actually a little more specific in terms of the allowance. The allowance is not only mimin, but also mima, the right type and the right place, meaning it only can come from the vine that I'm actually working with, and it cannot come from a different vine. So basically, the Torah allows for the worker to eat from that which he is picking, but is it mimin, or is it also mima? So the Gemara, that's the Gemara's question. Or the Gemara says, okay, let's assume, meaning we didn't answer the question, but this is a common style of the Gemara, where we're going to assume a certain position and then go forward from there. So let's say that I can only eat from the vine that I'm currently working with right now, and I cannot eat from other vines. So shur b'mechubra hecha achal. The Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then how is a shur going to be ever be allowed to eat from chubar, from that which is connected to the ground? Again, this goes back to a point that we made earlier in the seventh parak, which is an animal can eat betalish and can eat b'mechubar, can eat from that which is detached. We know that because of lo sachs m'shur b'disho, and can also eat from what that is what is attached. And the Gemara learned it out either through a drasha, kavachomer, right? Remember, a couple days ago, the Gemara gave us a number of ways of how we arrived at that conclusion. But it is a conclusion that an animal is allowed to eat that which is attached to the ground. But the Gemara says, but if the requirement, if the allowance of eating is only from mimi and from mima, that only it's same type and same place, well, the Gemara says, well, how is the animal going to do that? And just so that you understand the Gemara's question, so we have to really paint a little bit of a picture over here in terms of understanding why this is going to be so problematic. It's going to be a pragmatic technical issue. You see, what's generally happening is that the animal is hitched to some sort of wagon. And so when the worker is working from the field, so the worker is working really more proximate to the wagon, not proximate to the animal. And so the worker is going to take from the, in other words, he's going to park the car, but in this case, the animal and the wagon. The animal is going to be way ahead of where the tree is right now, and so therefore there's no way where the animal can actually eat from the tree that is currently being worked with. And if we assume that the only thing that you can eat is only from that which you're actually working with, so then the animal can never get back there and eat from that tree. The animal will be able to eat from other trees, but again, if the allowance is only for me and me ma, so then the animal simply can't do it. So that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, "I'm Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi Bisharcha." Now the Girsa of the Gemara is either Sharcha or Shadcha, but either way, Rashi explains, well, it's feasible. Meaning, here's how to further envision it. So again, so the animal's parked far away from the tree because the wagon is really next to the tree. But you can also imagine that, let's say it's a grapevine. So the grapevine has a long vine that extends towards the front of the parked wagon, meaning closer to the animal. Under those circumstances, now you can have everything. Now you can work the tree. The animal can eat from the same tree because of that one elongated vine. So the Gemara says, so under those circumstances, so then we would have an allowance for the animal to eat from both mimi and from mima. Tashma, the Gemara considers now the following brisa. Hayosa betanim lo, no, it's not a brisa, it's a mishnah. Hayosa betanim lo yachol banavim. So if you were to eat from the figs, you can't eat from the grapes. Now ha te'enim v'te'enim dumya detenim v'anavim ochel. Okay, so the diak of the mishnah goes like this. Look, if I'm working figs, I can't work grapes. And if I'm working grapes, I can't work figs. But the diuk in the Mishnah is that if I have a scenario where it's not figs and grapes, but it's grapes and grapes similar to figs and grapes, then I'd be allowed to eat it. Now the Gemara says, now, what does that mean, grapes and grapes? Presumably what it means is, I'm working with one area, and at the same time, I'm allowed to eat from another area, as long as it's the same min. the deek in the Mishnah seems to indicate that as long as it's the same min, doesn't have to be from mima, it could just simply be from mimin, and that would be enough. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, mardosa begefen zay no chal begefen acher echemishkach halah." And if you are of the opinion that I can only eat from the tree that I'm actually working with, so then how did you understand the deek in the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah says gefen vigefen. Oh, well, that's the deek in the Mishnah. Gefen vigefen. So how did you understand the deek? So I'm Rav Shisha Bar Ravidi bimudlis. So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you how to understand the deek." And the deek goes like this: I have two trees, and they're in two different areas of the land. But what's happening is that other trees are growing. The trees kind of get crossed with one another, tangled with one another. And what I need to do in order to take from this tree that I'm working with right now is I need to separate the other tree. So to a certain degree, this is Rashi's explanation, so to a certain degree, I'm working with the other tree. Now granted, all I'm doing is just simply untangling it from this tree, but I'm working with the other tree. That now gives me the allowance to eat from this tree and from that tree, but only if it's from the same species. Meaning, and that's the point of the Mishnah, if let's say one is grape and the other one is figs, and all I'm doing is untangling, so then I can only eat from this tree, I can't eat from the other tree. Why not? Because it's a different min, and that prevents me from eating from the other tree. But if it's the same min, and so then untangling is considered enough of a work, enough of a job, in order to allow me to eat from both. That's the way to understand the Mishnah. Tashma, the Gemara says, consider now the following. The Mishnah says that you can wait, moneas atzmo, withhold yourself, and wait till you get to the good fruit. So the Gemara says, now let's consider. If I'm allowed to eat from another tree, from the same type, even though I'm not working with it, so then what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? The Mishnah's not telling me anything I didn't know. In fact, nezel, v'nesei, v'nechel. Just simply walk over there, go pick it up, and go get it. What is the Mishnah instructing me to do by simply saying that you're allowed to withhold yourself? Of course you are. Hasa mishum bita malacha. The Gemara says no. What we're learning over there is the idea behind bita malacha. Again, that's the same idea that we expressed at the end of the Mishnah, but now we're saying this pshat in the middle of the Mishnah, which is that look, it's just simply, it's not right, while you're in the middle of the row, it's not the time to sit down now and to eat, even though the Torah gives the allowance to do so, but the Baal HaBayis doesn't want you to do that. So as a way of creating a compromise between you and the Baal HaBayis, so therefore you are allowed to be monea. You can wait until you get to the end and then eat the better fruit. Lo kami bailan, and then the Gemara says, and that really was never a question. Ki kami bailan hechidika ishto vanav mai. So the Gemara says, well, look, you misunderstood. Meaning, I understood bita malacha. What I didn't understand is as follows: what if we can remove bita malacha from the equation? Meaning, it's not going to take you any time to walk over there and pick up the good fruit. Why? Your wife is there, your children are there, and they're not employed. And right now, they're just, you know, they're hanging out with you, and you say to them, look, I'm working right now. Can you get me the good grapes from that vine? And so I'm not going to stop working whatsoever. So it doesn't represent now bita malacha. Under those circumstances, so now the question is, so the question now stands. Once we remove bita malacha from the equation, and now question becomes, again, the same exact question. When I take from fruit, does it have to be with the tree that I'm working with? Or can it be from another tree? And we eliminate bita malacha because I'll have somebody else get it for me. And again, it's that question we keep asking again and again. Tashma. Again, we're going to go back to our Mishnah. We're going to look at the end of the Mishnah. So again, going back to the Mishnah, the Gemara quotes the last line of the Mishnah, talking about waiting until you get to a natural break in the work, and then you have your coffee break. Or in this case, not your coffee break, but your fruit break, your grape break. So the Gemara says, now Savrua, now again, I know I foreshadowed this Gemara, but now here it is. So you're making a turn from one row to another row. Is that considered working, making that turn, or is that considered just simply a pause in the workday? So Savru, when the Bnei Yeshiva were learning the Mishnah, they thought, Mahalach Kose Maisa Dame, that just simply making that turn from one row to another is considered Maisa, it's considered an action, it's part of the work job. Midaraisa lo achel. And now, how is it that you're allowed to eat at that turn? So the Mishnah told us because of a Shavas Aveda, meaning it's a Takana derabanan that allows me to eat at that point in time. Now, and Minat Torah, I shouldn't be eating at that point in time. I can't be eating at that point in time, but the Chachamim allowed me to do so. So let's put all this information together. So I make a turn. We're assuming that that turn that I'm making is considered part of the workday. I'm working at that point in time. The Torah doesn't allow me to eat at that point in time, but the Chachamim allow me to eat. Now, at that point, what food do I have? Food that came from the previous row, food from upcoming? Well, that's a simple question. Obviously, it's food that came from the previous row. So now, what do we? If we just put all this information, what are we learning together? I'm making that turn for the row that I worked with or the row that I'm working with? Obviously, I'm making that turn for the row that I'm working with. So even though I'm making a turn, and that turn is for the upcoming row, not for the previous row, so we just learned together that min ha-Torah, I'm not allowed to eat the fruit that was already collected. Ama osa begefen ze, eino ochel begefen achir. So when you put all this information together, now what comes out is that when I'm turning for the next row, I can't be eating fruit of the previous row because I'm not working for the previous row. I'm not working for the upcoming row. And it's only because of a special takana derabanan that I'm allowed to eat. So it's clear now when you put all this together, the conclusion is that when I'm working with one tree, I can't eat from another tree. Even though, by the way, here it's even a little bit of a bigger chiddush, even though it's a tree that I already previously worked on, but that doesn't matter. I'm only allowed to work from the tree that I'm currently working with. So the Gemara says, "La'olam lecha osu begefen zeh ochel begefen acher, u'mahalach lav kamaisa dami." So the Gemara says, "Well, let's go with a different assumption, which is that the turn that you're making is not considered part of the work, meaning that's not considered maisa. And so the truth of the matter is that at this point in time now, you're simply not working." That turn you're making, even though obviously you need to make that turn, but that's simply not working. So it has nothing to do with, am I allowed to eat from the tree that I'm working with? Am I allowed to eat with the tree that I'm not working with? Right now, currently, I'm not working. I'm on break. So now, it's because of that, for that reason, the Chachamim need to make a special takana to allow me to eat at the end of the row. That's what the Gemara says, and if that's true, then it has nothing to do with our discussion of, if I'm working this tree, can I eat from another tree, etc., etc. Igad Amre, or the Gemara now is going to have the second version of the same exact discussion. It's just that the first assumption is going to be the conclusion of the previous discussion. So here, in version number 2, the starting point is that turn that you make to go from one row to another is not considered maisa. And behind the time of the madaraisa lo'achem v'shem d'lav ka'osa maisa dami. And the reason why you're not allowed to eat min ha-Torah at that point in time is because you're not working. And you're only allowed to eat while you're working, and you're not working with that turn. So the Gemara says, ha'osa maisa achem d'araisa. But that means that if the turn would have been considered a maisa, so then you would be allowed to eat, even though your fruit that you have right now is not on the future row that you're about to work with, but on the past row. That if I'm working with one tree, I can still be eating from another tree. So the Gemara says, and again, the Gemara just simply deflects the proof. We could really say that if I'm working with one tree, I'm not allowed to be eating from another tree. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, that turn that you're making is considered maisa, so you are considered working. So, and the only reason in a Torah that you're not allowed to eat it is because you're not currently working with that tree anymore, and that's why you're not allowed to eat it. Okay, so on the question of mimin umima from the Gemara, from the almost the beginning of the whole sugya until this point in time, the Gemara discusses what are the requirements of eating the fruit. Does it have to be mimin, or does it also have to be mima? Certainly, from the Mishnah, I know I can only be eating that which I'm working with. If I'm working with grapes, I can eat grapes. If I'm working with figs, I can only eat figs. So mimin, that's clear. But does it also have to be mima? I can only eat from the tree that I'm currently working with, and I cannot eat from another tree on the field that I'm not currently working with. That's the question in the Gemara. The Gemara arrived at no conclusion. Okay, see the Rambam Shulchan Aruch to see where we ended up with that. Sadi Beis Amad Alpha on the very top of the Amad of Vachamor Kishi Parekis, we're talking about the donkey. When can the donkey eat the food that it's carrying? So the answer is when it's unloading. The Gemara says, Kishi Parekis Mechan Achla. I don't understand. You unloaded the animal. So when you're unloading the animal, so there's no food for the animal to eat. So what is the Mishnah even talking about? That's the right time for the animal to eat. It's the wrong time for the animal to eat. There's not going to be any food for the animal. Ema Ad Shitei Parekis. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to add an important word in the Mishnah until the animal unloads, meaning that when the animal stops, before the animal unload, so the animal is allowed to eat at that point in time until the animal is fully unloaded. Tanila had the Tanur Rabban. The Gemara now quotes the Braisa supporting this as well. Chamor v'gamal ochlimi masui sh'al gabeim. A donkey, a camel, is allowed to eat from that which they're carrying. But you, the owner, can't do the following. You can't take from the load and feed it to the donkey. The donkey has to be able to get it, and the camel has to be able to get it themselves. That sounds a little bit impractical, meaning I don't know how, you know, the turning radius on their neck in terms of getting it. But the idea is that you cannot facilitate that feeding of the animal. The animal has to be able to eat it on its own. Okay, we start with the mission on the top of Tzadi Beisim and Aleph Ocha Pol Kishus Ve'afila Bedinar. Okay, so let's say it like this. Let me just quickly introduce the Mishnah. Okay, before we begin the actual Mishnah inside. This idea that we get to eat the fruit while working in the field. So you know, really, a good way to look at it, it's a bonus. Right? In other words, you're going to get paid a certain amount. You and the employer already agreed to how much you're going to get paid. And so a good way to look at this, and I'm really foreshadowing the Gemara coming up, a good way to look at this is this is a bonus. Now, as we already discussed, it's not going to affect your wages, meaning the wages that you get for working are going to be whatever they are, meaning whatever it's negotiated. But on top of that, the Torah allows you to take a little bit of, not a little bit, well, all right, we'll see in just a moment how much, but the Torah allows you to take food as much as you can eat. So you have a basically all-you-can-eat buffet at the vineyard. Okay, again, we already discussed there are a number of limitations in terms of how to prepare the fruit that you're eating. Basically, the limitations are you can't do anything to it, right? Not even roast it. But still, though, you have an all-you-can-eat buffet. Now, if I'm right, and we'll see in just a moment, I am. So really, we can arrive at some absurd conclusions. Let's say, for example, you eat so much that you eat more than it actually costs for the employer to hire you. You eat more than your wages. Is that okay? I'll leave that question open-ended. You'll see that's where we're heading in the Mishnah. Let's make it even more absurd, as long as we're here. How about if I eat everything that I plucked off the tree? Let's say I was asked to do a very small job. I was really hungry, and now I ate everything I plucked off the tree. Is that okay? Meaning, obviously, the employer is not going to be happy with you. Okay, I can predict that. I'm not good at predicting much, but I could predict that. But again, is the Torah giving you that kind of allowance? If I'm right that we're talking about an all-you-can-eat buffet, presumably that's also okay. But again, it leads us to some very strange conclusions. That's basically what we are discussing in the course of this mission in the Gemara. Ocha poel kishus afilu bedinar. So if you're working kishus, it's like a cucumber, so then you can eat even upwards of a dinar. Okay, that's a good amount. Kosevis, if you're working figs, afilu bedinar. You can even eat, or kosevis is a date, you're right, thank you. So you can eat even a dinar. Okay, in other words, and we're going to assume, again, we don't deal much in currencies of the Mishnah, but let's assume that a dinar is going to far exceed that which she's getting paid on that given day. Let's assume that. It's a good amount of money. Rabbi Lazar Chasma Amar Lo Yochol Po Yosa Ascharo. Rabbi Lazar Chasma says, look, we're going to have to cap how much you eat. And the cap is going to be, don't eat more than you're getting paid. Okay. V'chachamim matirin. And the Chachamim say, no, you can eat whatever you want. Now, you know the age-old question of the Gemara whenever you see this in the Mishnah, where the Chachamim is basically repeating what the Tanakhama said. So, my Beinah, what's the difference between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim? Stay tuned. That's going to be most of the Amud Aleph of today's daf. However, says the Chachamim, we're going to just simply advise a worker. You know, the truth of the matter is, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. You can eat really whatever you want, and even if you eat upwards of more than what you get paid, but again, you have entitlement to do so, I'd recommend that you don't do that. We say to the employee, so shelo ye rav tam, we don't want you to be a pig. So same as a pesach befanav. Because what you're going to do is that you're going to close the door. What does that mean? You're going to close the door? Meaning, who's this guy going to hire? And basically, you're going to make it very difficult for workers to get hired if this is the way you behave. So you have to think about the good of the general employment market. And if you behave this way, it's not going to be good for other employees. Okay. So we have, and it won't be good for him. That's also true. So basically, in the Mishnah now we have three opinions. Really, it amounts to two opinions in terms of, are we capping how much you can eat in this all-you-can-eat buffet of fruit on the field? So the Tanna Kamma says there's no cap, and the Chachamim also say there's no cap. And Rabbi Lazar Bechasma, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Lazar Chasma, the Mishnah says, no, the cap is going to be whatever you're making. That's the cap of how much you're allowed to eat. But really, again, what's going to bother the Gemara is that we have three opinions of the Mishnah, but three opinions, which is really two opinions. Because the Tanakhama and the Chachamim are saying the same thing, and that prompts the Gemara to ask, Chachamim hain the Tanakhama. Isn't the Chachamim and the Tanakhama saying exactly the same thing? So Ika ben Azar, the Gemara says, we're going to generate three different nafkaminas between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim. So here's number one. Ika ben Azar, the Gemara says, here's the nafkamina of Amalamdim. The advice that we give to the worker. So, lit Tanakama le malamdim le rabban islo malamdim. So, according to the Tanakama, there is no cap in terms of how much the worker can eat, and there's no need to advise them in terms of, you know, we're going to restrict. There is no restriction on how much you can eat, but you know what? Why don't you be prudent about how much you eat? We don't advise. And according to the Chachamim, no, we are encouraged to give such advice. Now, when I say we are going to give the advice, quite frankly, I don't know who the we is. Meaning, is it the employer's job to give this advice? Is it the base's job? Unclear. But that's number one. That's possibility number one in terms of what the difference is between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim, and it really doesn't amount to a whole lot. Meaning, both have it uncapped in terms of how much you can eat, and it's just a question of whether or not you give the advice or you don't.
So actually, the worker will know himself. If he eats a lot, nobody will hire him anymore, so... I mean,
right. In other words, according to the Tanakhama, it becomes self-evident.
Yeah.
Okay. Ibai Seima Ikebenar, the Gemara says another possibility of a difference between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim is the following, the Rav Asi. So that of Rav Asi, de Ama Rav Asi. Afilu lo scharo elo lifsor eshkol achad ochlo. So now Rav Asi makes a statement. Now again, I know I said this back in the Mishnah, but again, I was just foreshadowing some of these Gemaras. Rav Asi says that if you're hired to do a little bit of work and just to pick off the fruit from one tree, so you can eat all of it. Now again, I'm here to go out on a limb and make the very bold prediction that the employer is not going to be happy with you. I'll state that for the record. In fact, it's on the record. Okay, I have it recorded. But that's not our discussion. That's not our point. Our point is that you, the worker, have that right and entitlement to eat all of it. Again, it makes sense, meaning I understand it doesn't make sense from the standpoint of the employer. But once the Torah gives you an allowance to eat, and the Torah doesn't put a cap on you, so we can even be here at this, what is really a patently almost absurd conclusion, that you can eat all of it.
And make some?
What else are you going to be eating?
That's the only
thing you were asked to pluck. So the ochlo. The amar Rav Asi afilo batzer ela ashkol achad ochlo. Now, and Rav Asi makes another statement. And Rav Asi makes a second statement. And that is as follows. Let's say you're asked to come to work in order to pluck, and you're going to pick, and you're going to pick a lot, meaning you're not limited to one. But the first thing that you pick, you eat. Rav Asi says that's okay, right? You know the people who go to work and the first thing they do is to take a coffee break. apparently people know those. Apparently you know those people. So the Okay, so effectively, essentially, that's Rav Asi's second statement. That when you go to the job, so your first act of work can be, I'll pick and I'll eat. That's also fine. Now, before we get to, now these two statements of Rav Asi are necessary, and we'll get to that in just a moment. That's the Gemara's next point. But before we do that, let's just now plug in the Gemara's point over here to that of our Mishnah. Again, we're using Rav Asi as a point of distinction, of differentiation between the Tanakam and the Chachamim. How does that work out? So again, I'm just saying over the Gemara like Rashi, and Rashi says this is how it's going to work out, right? Rashi divra maskal Tanakam isle de Rav Asi, right? It's not exactly the gear that we have in our Gemara, but it's still making the point. V'hachi kama, Rashi writes. So here's how it's all going to set up. Poel ocha kisha shuhu levada ve'ino odafilu ve'afilu yishav adinar. According to the Tanakama, you can eat everything you're picking, and furthermore, even if it's the only thing you're picking, you can eat that as well. So regardless of value and regardless of quantity, and even if this is the only thing you're eating, you're still allowed to eat it, according to the Tanakama. And he obviously subscribes to the idea of Rav Asi. Two, the Asur Rabbi Elazar Chasma Lememar Bein Shehu Levada Bein She Schar Allah Lechavasa Im Shavi Yosar Schar Allah Yechlenu. And along comes Rav Elazar Chasma to say that no, there's a cap. You can only eat commensurate to that what you're getting paid. You cannot eat more than what you're getting paid. And finally, number three, Asura Bana Basrela Meimar, and the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah say, Yosar Schar Mutar, that there is no cap. You can eat as much as you would like. However, but if that's the only thing you're picking, you cannot eat that in its entirety. You have to leave something over for the balabais. I mean, how much? I don't know. But you have to leave something over for the balabais. So this is how...
I'm gonna eat a half a cucumber.
I was going to say, right. Okay. So now we've created, in our second approach, another differentiation between the Tanakama and the Chachamim, and that is whether or not we subscribe to Rav Asi. Tanakama says we do, the Chachamim say we do not. Now, Rav Asi made two statements, so let's now go to the next part of the Gemara, clarifying why do I need Rav Asi's two statements. Statement number one of Rav Asi, if I'm asked only to pick a little bit, I can eat all of it. Statement number two of Rav Asi, if I'm asked to pick a lot, my first act of picking can be my entitlement to eat. So the Gemara says it's Tzricha. These two statements of Rav Asi is necessary. I would not know one because of the other, necessarily. If only I had the first statement, Mishum Delo Ikala Mesav Lekel of Shabalabayas. So there, look, that's a big Chiddush. Because I'm not putting anything in the basket of the Balabais. It's all going in my basket. And by my basket, I mean my stomach. So there, fine. But if you're going to put in the basket of your Balabais, so there we could have made the argument, well, don't take first. That's crazy. First put in the basket of the Balabais and then take for yourself. Okay, so I wouldn't necessarily know two because of one. And let's go the other direction. Well, the other one's very easy to explain. Well, look, in number two, in the second statement of Rav Asi, there's going to be more.
Right.
The basket of the Baal Bais is going to be filled, so quite frankly, what difference does it make if the first one goes to the Baal Bais, the second one goes to the Baal Bais? Masha Enkein. In the first statement of Rav Asi, where I'm eating everything which I'm picking, so that's obviously a much bigger chiddush. That's much easier to understand why even if I have statement number two, I need statement number one, so therefore tzricha, they're both necessary. Okay, next. We're going to go now through a third differentiation point between the Tanakam and the Chachamim. So far we've had the difference being whether we put the employee under advisement. That's one difference. A second possibility is whether or not we subscribe to Rav Asi, where if you ask to pick a little bit, can you eat everything you picked? Tanakama says yes, Chachamim say no. That's our second point of differentiation. And now we get to a third point of differentiation. So another suggestion of the Gemara is that maybe the difference is a statement made by Rav. It's not a statement, rather it's a braisa. The Amar Rav Masasa ben Megillah Starim, he says, I found the following concealed document. Now, what are these concealed documents? So take a look at Rashi. This is not the first time in Shas we talked about concealed documents. Rashi says, Megillah Starm, I'm reading the Rashi. Megillah Temuna, it is a hidden document. Lefisha Asur Lichtov Halachos, because there used to be a point in time where we're not allowed to write Torah Shebaal Peh down. Think about it. It makes perfect sense. It's Torah Shebaal Peh. It's something which is supposed to be committed to memory. It's not supposed to be written down. The Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach, I think it's Daf Samach. But the Gemara in Gittin tells us that Dvarim Shebaal Peh Yashar Irashai Lekasvam and Dvarim Shebichsav Yeh Torah Shai Lomar Baal Peh. Right? The Torah Shebichsav has to be read from that which is written, and the Torah Shebaal Peh has to be said over by heart. So there used to be a point in time where you're not allowed to write the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, obviously, Rashi points out, let's say you heard something, but you were afraid you were going to forget it. And we're going back to the point in time where Torah Shebaal Peh was supposed to be a Baal Peh. So here's what you are to do. You write it down, and then you hide it, because it's not for public consumption. That's not for people to see. So that's why Megillah Starim is a term that's used to describe Torah Shebaal Peh prior to this point in time. Obviously, after Rav Yehuda HaNasi makes the landmark decision of taking Torah Shebaal Peh and writing it down, so therefore now we have the heter to do so. Right, the Gemara, same Gemara back in Gittin, Eis L'Shosh Hashem, Eferu Sarasecha. All right, it was a necessary decision to be made. Anyway, that's all explaining the term Megillah Starim. Back to our Gemara. Matzazi Megillah Starim Bei Rabbi Chia. So in this, Megillah Starim was found in the Yeshiva Rabbi Chia V'Kasuv Bar, and it says the following. So this is a quote of the Braisa. The Torah says that when you go onto the vineyard of your friend, and the Braisa darshins, everybody's invited onto the field. Meaning that when the worker is working on the field, so now it's basically permission granted for everybody to come and to pick at the grapes. And that sounds amazing, right? I would suggest so. And not only do I suggest that that's amazing, but Rav, when having heard the Braisa, saw the Braisa inside, and then shared the Braisa with others, Rav says, well, that's amazing. It can't be. The Amar Rav, and this is Rav's like reaction to the Braisa. Lo shavik isi chaye l'chol birya. Isi did not leave anybody with any food left. Meaning, when he says anybody, meaning the balabayas. Can you imagine that when the workers come onto the field, anybody can just simply come onto the field and take? Meaning, I understand all you can eat buffet, but all you can eat buffet for anybody and everybody? So you're not going to have anything left. That's crazy. I don't understand that. Yeah? It's even at this stage of the Gemara, it's like almost impossible to understand. So I'm Rav Ashi, I'm Yisrael Shmaisa Kamei to Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi says, look, excuse me, I said in front of Rav Kahana, meaning this Brice of Isi, and Dilma Be'osin Be'su'udasam Da'avdu Va'achlo. And maybe, let's not understand the Brice of the way I originally presented it, because that's just, it's radical. But rather, maybe what the Brice means is as follows, is that anybody can come onto the field and work and eat. So in other words, it's like a type of exchange of reciprocity where you don't have to be invited on the field to work. You can go there and you want to work and you can also eat as well. Maybe that's what the Braisa of Isi Ben Yehuda means. And still, Amar Lee, and his reaction was, I still think Rav would object to that as well. Meaning, Rav objected to the way we originally presented the Braisa. Here, I still think Rav is going to object. The employer still wants to control, wants to be able to hire people to work for him, wants the same people to work for him. How many grapes can the same people eat? Right? Meaning they're going to have a relationship with the employer. They're going to understand that even though it is a buffet and all you can eat buffet, but they're going to have a basic understanding. If you're going to invite anybody onto the field to work and eat, so who's to say they're good workers? Who's to say they're going to really govern the amount they're going to eat? So I still think Rav would also have that visceral reaction to the Braisa, the way he was even in this modified version of the way it's presented. And again, just let's now fill in the blank. So what? So now what we're saying is that the this would be another point of differentiation between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim. Now here, what does the Tanakhama hold and what does the Chachamim hold? So that part's not perfectly clear. The way Rashi presents it, Tanakhama leisle d'isi. The Tanakhama does not subscribe to isi. Why? Because he says, ochel poel kitani. Because only the worker is allowed to take, but they're only the hired worker is allowed to take, but not anyone else. And meanwhile, the Chachamim subscribe to the rule of isi ben Yehuda. That's the way Rashi presents it. You see the Gemara on the side of the Gemara. The other Rishonim don't present it that way. You could see the other way. Anyway, however it's presented, a third point of differentiation between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim of the Mishnah. We discussed earlier in the Masechta, so if the owner asks him to subcontract, so then for sure, but without the request, I assume no. Okay, now we get to a really fundamental question regarding the worker's right to eat, and that is, you are given this bonus. This bonus is a bonus from the employer, or is it a bonus min hashamayim? Now, at this point in time, the question is really analytical and seemingly an abstract question. You're entitled to eat, meaning the Torah gives you the right to eat when you're working on the field. And it's not going to affect your wages whatsoever. This is separate from your wages. It's a bonus. The Gemara's question over here seemingly is an abstract question. Well, is this now a bonus given to you by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is it given to you by the employer? Even if it's given to you by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think we all understand, right? Who's the messenger of God over here? It's the employer, meaning it's going to be his fruit that you are taking. And so what difference does it make? Gemara says, still, even in the abstract question, it's going to be a practical difference, and there has to be. Like we say time and again throughout the Gemara, without a nafka mina, so then it's philosophy. It's not, you know, it's not learning. No, meaning it's the right, it's the Torah right given to the employee that he's allowed to eat.
Salary.
It's salary and bonus.
That's not bonus. Bonus is something that could be and could not be. Benefit is part of the benefit.
Right. Oh, so you want to call? Okay, fine. Is that, now, okay, fine.
Awesome, or is it something well made? It's okay to do
it. It's more, I mean, the Torah gives you the entitlement. It's a benefit. Okay? So is this coming from the employer, or is it coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Lemai nafkamina, the Gemara says, okay, but with a practical difference. Otherwise, we wouldn't be asking the question. The Amar Tanuli Ishi Vanai. So the Gemara says, very good. So the Gemara says now, can you forward this benefit to other recipients? So Iamar Mishalahu Ochel, because if this is a benefit coming straight from the employer, so it's a benefit, but basically it's no different than your wages. Meaning my wages, can I forward my wages to somebody else? Of course I'm entitled to forward my wages to somebody else. And I don't have to first receive my wages and then forward it to somebody else. I could just simply say, look, you owe me the wages. I wanna now just simply I want to move the recipient of that to somebody else. For sure you could do that. And so if we're viewing this benefit of eating in the same manner, so then you could forward that to somebody else. You could say that, look, I know I'm entitled to eat. Okay, so it's coming to me, so therefore I can give it to my wife, my children, whomever I want. So, but if this is a benefit coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you could be the only recipient. Rashi says here, let's think about it like this. Let's look at it like tzedakah. Okay? Let's say you are entitled to receive tzedakah. You can't say to the Gabbai, you know what? I'll tell you what. I know I'm entitled to receive it, but instead of giving it to me, give it to somebody else. It doesn't work that way. After you get the tzedakah, I mean, I guess we have moral and ethical dilemmas over here. After you receive the tzedakah, then you want to, you know, share it with others. Okay, fine. Again, I understand that ethically that's somewhat uncomfortable. But before you receive the tzedakah, you can't tell the Gabbai, hey, you know what? don't give it to me, give it to somebody else. It doesn't work that way. So the Gemara says similarly over here. If this entitlement, if this benefit of eating is a coming straight from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so then you have no right to allocate it to somebody else without having first received it. So the Gemara says, my. So the Gemara says, so now that we explained the nafkamina between these two ways to look at it, so which way are we going to go? Is it from the Baal Bais or is it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, let's consider. Ochapol kishas vafila bediner. Kosefas vafila bediner. So we're going to go back to our Mishnah. What are we talking about in the Mishnah? You're allowed to eat all you can eat buffet, and even if you're eating a dinar, which again, as I mentioned back in the Mishnah, we're going to assume it's going to be a lot more than the money you're actually earning. So the Gemara says, Yemar mishalahu ochal oge bedanka, and achab zuzo. And the Gemara says, and now consider how absurd this is, where basically your bonus exceeds your wages. I mean, I know in Wall Street that happens, but okay. But in other words, but that's crazy. How can we have a scenario where your bonus is going to exceed your wages? That's crazy. So it can't be that this is Mishalo, this is coming from the Baal Bais, because where do we have any type of employment structure where your bonus is going to exceed your wages? It must be that's coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, Ve'alamai Mishal Shamayim Hu? Ochel? Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. You want to say that this is a benefit from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? I'll still ask you the same question. But still, when all is said and done, even if it's coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's still a benefit. And again, it just brings us to that absurd conclusion that your benefit is exceeding your actual wages. That doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? However which way you look at it, it's strange. And you know what the conclusion is? It's strange. Meaning, but that's the entitlement of the Torah. The Torah allows you to eat all you can eat. And so therefore, even if what you're eating is going to far exceed your wages, but that's the entitlement of the Torah. So either which way, it's Mishalot, it's Minashamayim, that's just simply the way the Torah operates in terms of the rights of the employee. Tashma, the Gemara says, come and consider, Rabbi Lazar Chasma. We're now at the second position of the Mishnah. Amar lo yochol poser yosa al shcharo, v'chachamim matirim. So we have now positions 2 and 3. Rav Elazar says we're capping. The Chachamim say we're not capping. And my law ba'akim iflagi. And what is at the core of the debate between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim? Mar safer mishalahu ochel, mar safer mishal shamayim ochel. Presumably, the question is exactly what we just described, which is, you know, is it really normal that you're going to be receiving a greater bonus than that of your wages? So if it's Mishalot, if it's coming from the employer, so the answer is that's ridiculous. Therefore, we're going to cap it. Therefore, your bonus should not exceed your wages. And and Rav Elazar Chasma, therefore, is viewing it as Mishalot. It's coming from the employer. Masha Enkin, according to the Chachamim, no, you can eat greater than that which you're actually earning, because it's Min HaShamayim. That's from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's two separate sources of revenue. So the Gemara says, look, the Gemara says, maybe no. Maybe they both are of the opinion that fundamentally it's coming from the employer. And as far as the debate whether we cap or we don't cap, that could be based on how we understand the pasuk of Bechanaf Shecha. So one way to understand Kanaf Shecha is something where you're Moser Nefesh, meaning sometimes there's a tremendous work hazard. You're climbing up a ladder, says Rashi, right? You're climbing up a tree. You could fall, you could hurt yourself, you could do more than hurt yourself. So over there, once you're putting yourself at such risk, so you know what? Reward yourself. All you can eat buffet. So the Gemara says, "Amar tzav kenaf shechem, na shechem chasam tapata apol, im chasam tapata." And the other one says, "No, that the all you can eat buffet is not really all you can eat." And as far as the pasuk kenaf shecha is concerned, so that goes back to a drasha that we saw earlier, which is that in theory you can muzzle your worker, which we discussed before, that's it's a funny visual. Okay, let's do a little bit more for this morning. Tashma. Nazir Sha'amar Tanu Liishti Uvanai Ancho Mimlo. Let's say you have the Nazir who is an employee and he's working in the vineyard. Now, should he be there to begin with? The answer is patently no. He shouldn't be. He's not allowed to eat grapes. So what he says to the employer is, look, I'm a Nazir, and I know this is perhaps not the best idea, but why don't we do the following? Why don't we forward my benefit of eating to my wife and to my children? Ein shom amlo, we don't listen to him. We don't allow him to do that. Now the Gemara's question over here is very simple. So again, if the benefit is coming from the employer, so why can't he forward that to his children and to his wife? Like the Gemara said earlier, it's no different than your wages. You can forward your wages to whomever you want, so you should be able to forward your benefit to whomever you want. So the Gemara says no. Truth of the matter is that really you are allowed to forward these benefits to somebody else. However, as far as the Nazir is concerned, we are penalizing the Nazir. You, Mr. Nazir, you shouldn't even be here. You shouldn't even be on the vineyard. And now you wanna benefit from the grapes. We generally say to the Nazir, don't even go to the vineyard. So Rashi describes it as a kenas, it's a penalty. Tashma, the Gemara is going to quote another brisa. Paul Shamar Tanu Li Shivanai and Shamim Lov. Again, the brisa over here is the same, but here the brisa uses the word Powell, not Nazir. My Powell Nazir. So the Gemara says, well, in this brisa, the word Powell is a reference to a Nazir. V'atanya Nazir, v'atanya Powell. The Gemara says, yeah, but those are two brisas. So the Gemara says, Midigabe Adad Tanan. The Gemara says, yeah, but these brisas were not learned together. So in other words, they are two distinct brisas, and they're both talking about a nazir. Tashma, minayin lapol shamar tenu lishiu v'nai she'en shamem lo shenemer v'al kaliyecha lo titein. So here it's a similar brisa, but the brisa ends with the pasuk regarding the worker. Now v'chite machanami nazir iach mishum al kaliyecha lo titein mishum leich lecha minaziru. Now if the brisa here is talking about a nazir, so why would the brisa be quoting a pasuk that has to do with a worker? The brisa should end with a comment about the nazir. So in achinam, the Gemara says, no, really the truth of the matter is, you're right. It's a nazir. So there, it's just a function of him being a worker. So, and the nazir is working. That's why the Braisa concluded with the pasuk regarding a worker, but truth be told, it's talking about a nazir. Tashma. We'll do one more for today. Let's say the worker was there in order to work with figs, but really to dry the figs and turn them into a cake. So in other words, until that point in time, it's not yet a finished product. Now, hareza ochel upatam and a meiser. So he can eat, and we're not yet at the point of meiser because we're not the gemar malacha. Amenas sheochel ani uvanai, o sheochel bini bischari. However, let's say he negotiates, and he says that in order so that me and my children can eat, or that my child can eat bischari, so who ochel upatam, so he's allowed to eat, because for him, that entitlement was the Torah entitlement, ubano ochel v'chayav. But his son is allowed to eat, but still, with his son, you have to take off trumas and maisos. Why? Because it's a negotiation. It's mekach. It's like purchased produce. So the Gemara says, now, if this is all a benefit from the employer, so it's not really a mekach, all you're doing is just transferring your wages to your child. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? It looks like a mekach. So even though maybe fundamentally it's not really a mekach, but it looks like a mekach, and so therefore you have to take off trumas and maaser. So our fundamental question of how do we look at this benefit of you eating? Is it coming from the employer? Is it coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Nafka mina, can I transfer that to somebody else? So right now we're in the middle of the discussion. We're going to continue with that tomorrow.